Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we are going to be talking about a controversial subject, and it is about crop circles. The movie I'm going to share information with you about today is called What on Earth? Inside the Crop Circle Mystery. And the woman that put this beautiful movie together, and when I say beautiful, I mean it really is beautiful. The photography is phenomenal. Her name is Suzanne Taylor, and she is joining us today on the show. Suzanne, welcome to the program.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. Really glad you like my movie.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what the quote that is right on the front of your package for the DVD, I know for sure we're not alone in the universe. I've been privileged to be in on the fact that we've been visited on this planet. It's been covered up by our governments for 60 years now. Astronaut Edgar Mitchell, the sixth man to walk on the moon, is the man that that quote comes from, and Mr. Mitchell has been a guest on my show, and it's just fascinating to talk with him. Your movie, I was saying to Don, who is in the studio in California, that I get so many movies that people want me to review, and so many of them are done in what I consider an amateur manner. Yours is really first class.
A real movie, yeah.
It is a real movie, but more importantly, it's the flow in the movie and the stories that go along with it, the people you interview, and the photography. I was just amazed at these photos of these crop circles. When you open up the movie, there is photography being done by someone in a glider, and I wanted to find out more about that. How did you get the overviews? I saw the glider. Was it all done on a glider? How did you get these phenomenal pictures?
Oh, did you see me going up in the little micro light? Did you notice that that was me in the helmet and what have you?
Yeah.
People, when I'm with people and they're watching the movie, they gasp because it's all open. It's just like a little insect thing. You're flying like in a mosquito. And, I sat behind the pilot. I had to put my arms around him. And then actually I could free an arm so I could use my video camera. But, it's like being in a glider and, although it is it does have an engine on it. But people gasp, oh my gosh, what was it like to go up in that,
But actually,
the photography is done for many different things. Those are micro lights. Those are very popular over there as one means to get up in the air. But there are helicopters also that go up, and there used to be, like single engine planes, but the Aeronautic Commission in England has somehow, for whatever reason, clamped down, and they won't let photographers go up in them anymore. But you do go up in helicopters in which you take off the doors. It's a little bit scary. But that, all those different means are the ways that those photographs were taken. And, those are not huge jet liners. They have a lot of maneuverability, and they can get close, they can go down and get close. And, of course, you use your zoom also.
Mm-hmm.
So, the circles need to be photographed from the air because you can't see the patterns otherwise. Although, I think one of the things in my movie that you won't find in most others is how beautiful the ground shots are.
Yes.
That we just found and used some of the most beautiful photography of the circles from either ground or, the other way they do them is from cameras that they mount, we mount up on poles. They call them pole shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, you're kind of sort of in the air, but, not, flying in a machine. You just got your camera way up on a pole, and that gives you a kind of unique perspective on them. But of course, in a movie about crop circles, you want to have beautiful crop circle photography,
Oh, it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. Let's talk a little bit about you, because your journey with crop circles the interest in them started in the 1980s, didn't it?
It did. Just accidentally, they crossed my path while I was producing all kinds of events that had to do with personal growth, self-development, self-awareness, consciousness. I don't know if we were calling it consciousness then. And we weren't calling it worldview then. You know, how does the collective body of humanity think about the world and think about our place in the world? But we've moved into all of those mm-hmm. kinds of areas of thinking. But at the time, it just became another subject matter among all the subject matters that were kind of outside the contemporary box at the time. These were kind of, it was the heyday of Esalen, for instance, where, you know, it was so shocking that people went and took their clothes off and
right.
Did all these kind of self-development programs. Well, my house in Los Angeles was kind of a, I wouldn't call it Esalen, but it was a gathering place. I had a kind of a salon where all of these interesting, different things for the culture at that time, particularly at that time, they were shocking things, and they were all happening in my living room, and crop circles were amongst them. But, you know, gradually as time went on and the world became sort of more and more imploded, which, you know, you can see today the real difficulty that we are in as a world, I thought, you know, all this self-development and personal growth and what have you, you've got to work on yourself. You've got to, you know, learn about the larger reality of your own being than the kind of external material world we live in. But changing the world one person at a time will take, in the slow process of personal growth, would take, you know, eons. But the world needs something faster. And because the crop circles stood a chance to change mass consciousness about who we are, how we relate to the universe, what else is out there, I just got more and more interested in them, and more the kinds of things I would do would be related to the circles, and then started to make films about them as the way to really tell the world in wholesale fashion what they weren't being told by the media, which presents a very distorted picture when they deal with them at all of what's going on.
Now, the first real awareness of it, and correct me if I'm not right, started in southern England.
That's a hot spot, indeed.
That's a hot spot.
And has continued to be to this day, yes. That was the place that the interest developed.
Now, I know we've had some in the United States, but they never, ever, to the best of my knowledge, have gotten the acclaim, if you will, as those in southern England.
No, it never makes the national press here. Whenever they get a formation here, and we only get a few each year, but whenever we get one here, the local press, wherever that is, you know, becomes fascinated. It's an event in the local area. But you never read about any of the United States circles in the national press. If you're not in an area that gets one, you never know that they're happening over here at all. And we show an international montage. There are some 40 countries that have gotten crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
And one, as you know, in the film, there's an international montage in which we have a couple of beautiful ones from the United States.
And this is something that I wanted to discuss a little bit, too, because in 1993, you decided you really wanted to put something together, and that was, if I'm correct on that also, that was when you made your first trip over to southern England. Am I right?
Yes, after my living room was, you know, being populated by the people who would be in Los Angeles who knew enough. Some of them lived here, actually, the people who would go to England each summer and be part of this kind of community of what they call crappies over there, people who are very plugged into this phenomenon. So they were doing presentations in my living room. I just got, you know, so fascinated by it. I thought, I got to go over there and take a look. And 93 was the first time that I went over there. And then I started to become rather a regular, getting involved with them, doing more programs when I would come home about them, trying to, you know, turn people on. And then, as I said, when I came back in 96, I just made a vow that this was going to be my unique mission in life. You know, there were many things I was interested in and talking about, but what did I know that most people didn't know? And it was about the circles. And so then I started to look for a filmmaker, and it took me some years to find one because, you know, this is the second crop circle film that I've had some involvement with. So, you know, 96 to 2001, I was searching, or 2000 actually, I was searching for a filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. Well, now let's talk about the crappies. But I think that's a hoot, the title. So now I, you know, that was a whole new word to add to my vocabulary.
Right.
Corruppies. Okay. So these people come from all walks of life.
They do.
You interview a number of them. Quite a few. Scientists, to housewives.
Yes, well, not housewives, really. They're most of the people are professionals, one profession or another, writers, journalists, architect, you know, they have all different kinds of professions, you know, that they come from, computer people, very upstanding people who come to kind of check it out, you know, the way I did, and then they get hooked, and it becomes a passion for them, you know, like Close Encounters, you know, I've just got to get there and got to do something about this phenomenon. And so they come back repeatedly every summer, and then they write books, and they take the pictures, they sell the photographs, they do lectures about them, they produce programs about them when they go home to their countries.
The first pictogram, that's what they were called, when that appeared, where was that? And it was circular, and then they changed style.
Exactly. All the formations before that had consisted of circular elements only. Not just single circles, sometimes double, triple, circles with rings around them, but everything circular. This you may not know because it's not in my movie. At that point, these crappies had become so, there had become so many crappies, and there was such an area, a concentration of interest in England, that they formed an organization. And they named them for the first time. These things, these formations that were appearing in crop fields didn't have a name. So the Center for Crop Circle Studies was born in 1990, because they were all circular, you know. In 1991, we had our first straight lines inside the formations, like they were no longer, and to this day, the name crop circles has stuck, but they're far from just being circles now or just consisting of circular elements only, and that's almost kind of like how appropriate or how not appropriate what a demonstration of a pattern with the circles, which is that they wink at you. You try to catch them, they run away or they hide, or you know, and this is, you name it, crop circles, they give you straight lines, you know. It's very gentle. I mean, it's nothing abusive going on, but it's almost like they're playing with you, you know. They don't want to be pinned down, they don't want to be handled harshly, you know, so they'll kind of, you know, toy with you a bit.
Well, that's really fascinating because they are so magnificent. They really
are. Oh, in 1991, I think I told you, was that first straight line. Yeah,
first straight line.
That. And then they named that pattern inside the crop circle phenomenon, they called them pictograms because they were sort of little pictures of things. You know, sometimes they were recognizable shapes like a snail, and sometimes they were just consisting of, or sometimes they were curly men. There was a period when they appeared to be humanoid kind of figures, and all consisting of many more than just circles, all different kinds of shapes. And they that name pictogram became associated with ones that were not geometric. They were not like mandalas. They were more like you know, things that. Or not even something that had a parallel in some recognizable entity, but just a shape, a pattern that was, you know, consisted of a lot of different kinds of elements.
Suzanne, there is, and I've got the movie going in front of me, and I'm seeing these magnificent circles and diagrams. Michael Gleckman is an architect, and he goes into the geometric shapes.
He's a great geometer. You know, he was a professor of architecture at USC out here, University of California. So, you know, he's quite smart.
He is. Let's address something that comes up. There have been people that have said that they have made some of these crop circles. Well,
oh, there are. We have our hoaxes. They are the terrorists of the crop circle world, driving us crazy.
Right. Now, with so many that are so intricately complex, I mean, there's no way two men with a board and a couple of ropes pressing the wheat down is going to be able to do that in an overnight or in a couple of hours. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm being naive.
They've gotten better and better over the years. It used to be easy to spot. The geometry was terrible. They really couldn't make things that had, you know, shapes in them that were anything other than sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about the quote-unquote real formation, it's not sloppy. It's very well designed and very,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't make mistakes, so to speak. So as time went on and more hoaxers seemed to come along, originally, the early batch of hoaxers was messy, but they've actually gotten better. They've been practicing over the years, and they're actually able to make things that are pretty decent these days, and it's hard to exactly know because they're trying to fool you, and they're claiming they've made things that they haven't made, and so, you know, it's sometimes difficult to know, particularly when a formation has been trampled before any of the people who do the research on them get into them and sort
mm-hmm.
of the evidence goes away. When they're brand new, like frequently they come in bad weather and rain, amazingly a number of them come in rainstorms, where if you were going to be tromping around making them, you would be leaving mud. I mean, there's just no way you wouldn't put mud into the wheat where
mm-hmm.
where you flattened it. And so if you're new, if you get into a fresh circle, you can see it either has muddy footprints and you go, uh-huh, hoaxers, or it doesn't, then you say, okay, this one's for real. But then when the tourists and all the people who go and visit them tromp them around in them before the researchers get to them, they kind of spoil the evidence. You know, it's a little hard to tell sometimes. And we don't know exactly how much of the phenomenon is hoaxed now. You just can't pin it down because they're very intent on fooling you.
Mm-hmm. Now, when one of these comes up, usually it's within a very short period of time.
Oh, the English nights are four or 5 hours long, depending on which part of the summer. That's all the darkness you get because you're up near
mm-hmm.
the North Pole, you know.
Right. So to be able to put these complex patterns together,
said two men with boards. That's right. I wanted to tell you, sometimes they recruit large teams.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah. They've just had one in, is it France or Belgium or something? It was just on the Internet. It's the biggest thing you ever saw. I don't ask me for dimensions. And they had 50. Now, they weren't trying to fool anybody. You know, they bought the land, hired the whatever. But they had 50-some-odd people out there making this thing. You know, the team, there are more than just two people involved in
mm-hmm.
making a lot of them. Sometimes they're recruiting. Sometimes the way you know it's a hoax is because there are kind of gathering places for crop circle people and for hoaxers. And sometimes at the gathering places, the hoaxers will be recruiting. We're going out tonight. Here's the pattern. You know, they show you a picture. This is what we're going to make. Who wants to go with us? And, you know, if they've been eavesdropped on by the real people, the real people know, this one's going to be the next day. No, we saw that yesterday. We knew that was going to be made, and we know that's a hoax.
Now, people have had various experiences when they've been around the crop circles that are not the hoaxes. They have found that their equipment doesn't work.
Often. It's very astonishing, right? It's the electronic parts of equipment. Batteries drain, cameras won't work, cell phones won't work inside a circle. Yeah, and we talk about that. We give you some examples of that.
Right, and again, the conversations you have with people, and I am looking at one geometric, well, it's a square, it squares within a huge square inside of a large circle. And again, maybe I'm being naive, but I look at this and I think, how in the blue blazes are you going to be able to coordinate something as intricate as this, even if you had 50 people, so that everybody's working with the same
yeah.
rhythm? But this
yeah.
is amazing.
Yeah,
in your
and no
trip.
Mistakes. You know, if you get in this dry wheat, you just kind of brush by it and you'll make an indentation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yet these things are perfectly perfect circles. Well, they're probably not being made by the hoaxers. Those are the genuine ones, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know. You know, the hoaxers don't take us out and show us what they do. So it's all kind of innuendo or surmise or whatever. And I tell you, it drives everybody crazy because, you know, you put a lot of attention sometimes on what seems to be a a good pattern, and a lot of analysis is done and what have you. And if you're doing it on something that, you know, isn't the genuine article, what a waste of time, you know, waste of energy, because you're really looking for the genuine thing to understand as much as possible about what's going on and what is delivering these things and how do we answer back. And, you know, these things can change the world. I mean, if you knew there was another intelligence that was interacting with us as opposed to just science fiction that, you know, tells us that. But if you absolutely knew that, can you imagine? That would be the biggest news ever. You would just be enthralled, particularly if you discovered it via the circles, which are so gentle and sweet. You wouldn't be scared that they're going to bomb you or blow you up or whatever it is, you know, kill your cattle or whatever it is.
That's not the war of the world.
No, it's not. It's nothing like that. You just are so impressed by how sweet and gentle these things are. But if you knew that, all the attention of humanity would be on that. What's going on? What do we do about it? How do we respond? How do we welcome it? What can, you know, it would be a worldwide conversation in which we all would be interested in the same thing, in the same positive thing. Now, wouldn't that be the best thing that would happen to the world, this conflicted, violent, oppositional world, to all of a sudden be in one kind of inquiry into something bigger than all of us that would humble us, to be in relation to something that was smarter than we are? They're visiting us. We're not visiting them. So this thing could be life-changing. And, you know, for the media not to be paying attention, for the hoaxers to be trying to throw bombshells into it all, come on, you know. Let's get with the possibility here and, you know, treat it with the kind of respect that could really bring us such rewards.
I'm looking at one of the photos that you have taken where there is this line and then there's a circle at the top of the line that has a hole in the middle of it, and then there's the connecting line to the second circle at the bottom, which has a much bigger literal hole image inside of it. And then there seems to be what looks like the edge of a key. In fact, to me, it looks like a key. And I look at this and I go, what if that was a communique of some kind, a language, that being put into the crop itself, how, you know, just the fact that this has been going on for so many centuries, I mean, this isn't something new. This has been going on for a long, long time.
Yes, we deal with an incident in 1990 where there was 1890 where there was a whole flurry of interest in the circles, and we go into some detail about that. But every 100 years or so there's been a flurry that we can go back and document and see, even though they weren't called crop circles, you can identify what they're talking about. You go, oh, those are early crop circles. But the interest didn't keep up and the flurry kind of went away. And the phenomenon seems to respond to interest. When there's interest, it gives you more. And the first time there was an ongoing, sustained interest where more and more people got interested and the phenomenon started delivering more and more was starting in our 1980s here. And this, you know, we're still in that, and it won't go away now. You know, now this is firmly planted in amongst us. But in terms of the language you were speaking about, you know, when something like that formation with the keys, that was that first pictogram that was different from circular formations. And everybody, you know, really was very, very attentive to trying to figure out what the communication was. What did those keys mean? And ongoingly, what does this mean? What does that mean? What are they trying to tell us? But then as the phenomenon went through time, and we've had all these years now of all these fabulous formations, I'll just, you know, these are guesses, you know, we are positing, what do we think, why are they doing this, what's happening? And I'll just give you my guess, which is people sometimes look for the overall message, like it's a big puzzle, and if we could just have all the pieces, we'd get the message. And I say, I don't think so. If you look at any individual formation, it usually admits to many different kinds of interpretations, geometric for sure in many of them, and very sophisticated geometry, where we've even learned geometric theorems that are in our literature now that we've learned from crop circles. And then there's historical information and archaeological information and plant and solar system information and events going on Earth that they will give you as indication that they know those events are about to happen, that, you know, comets that are coming through or eclipses. They'll give you formations that's before them that, oh my goodness, there's the eclipse that's coming, you know. But here's my thought. My thought is, no, it's not a big puzzle that we're trying to put the pieces on. If they wanted to give us an overall message, they wouldn't have to be so cryptic about it. I think what they're doing is just showing us that there is other intelligence, which would change our reality. Once we get that, everything changes on Earth. And at a time when we need to change, we haven't got the right idea. We're in this materialistic, violent, kind of hitting the wall sociological system here. And I think they're just trying to bombard us with the fact that they see us, they can encode all kinds of information that shows they are highly intelligent, and that we are just supposed to get it, that there is other intelligence interacting with us, and we don't need any more message than that. We don't need any specific, you know, kind of verbiage or directive or some such. Once we get that another intelligence or other intelligences, because maybe they're coming from more than one source, are engaging with us, we've got the most important message we could be getting.
Mm-hmm. I agree. With this movie, and again, it's so exquisitely done. You have a number of interviews with different people. You show and different situations, different environments, different parts of the world. How long did it take you to put all of this together, Suzanne?
Well, let's tell everybody the movie is called What on Earth, so in case they've forgotten
yes.
since the introduction. And whatonearththemovie.com is where you can go and see clips and see the trailer and, of course, buy the DVD. But I've been working on this now, not full-time. Like, you know, I'm not a movie studio that decides we're going to make a movie, we hire a crew, or, you know,
mm-hmm.
we get the director. Now the movie is being made, and it's made until it's finished. I didn't do it that way. I started in 2003. Went back every summer, shot some more, did some editing in between, but with professionals.
Yeah.
Not, you know, a movie is a very collaborative effort. Nobody makes a movie single-handed. And I just it was a project of mine. It was one among other projects of mine until finally it got so intense to really get this movie finished and bring in all the elements, the final editing and the music and then the post-production, the way you many things to do in a movie after it's in the can to bring it up to the standard of a real movie
mm-hmm.
that the video makers just don't do. So, you know, as and we just actually finished it this year, you know, the beginning of this year. So it's been a six-year process.
Well, I'll tell you, I think it is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh.
And again, you show in here different people, like the two men I was talking about, and you show different individuals that really have said, well, we did this ourselves, so this is all a con. And then they were proven to be false. They were proven to not be honorable.
Yeah, we show you how ridiculous their story is, which most people don't know. Many people still think those early people who came and said they did them all solved the situation. I think that's because humanity has a hard time with things that are so changeful. It's easy to kind of, if you can park them and say, oh, well, that got taken care of. I don't have
mm-hmm.
to think about the world turning around now. So.
Yes, it really is something that is so fascinating, but there's so much phenomena that goes on. That it when we can talk about it openly, without any games or any gimmicks, it really is something that can empower us as people. Because
Absolutely.
We'll say, we need to be curious about this. And I think curiosity is one of the most valuable assets about the human being, in as much as it makes us aware that we don't have all the answers. And isn't it something to give consideration to? That there may be these other intelligences that are saying, well, when you grow up and you're ready, you know, we'll be glad to talk to you. It's sort of like we're in kindergarten.
Well, you're on my wavelength. Curiosity is absolutely essential.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a mystery to be a human being to begin with. Where did this come from? And, you know, what are we doing here? And to think we've got all the answers and shut down and, you know, then be arrogant about it and be hostile to people presenting revolutionary ideas. It's just insane. I mean, you just don't want to do that. That's particularly because, as I say, with the world and the kind of difficulty that the world is in, my goodness, not to be open to the kinds of things that could change things and improve things. We are so short-sighted, you know. How can we do that?
I agree. Now, Suzanne, the website people can go to, because we're out of time, whatonearththemovie.com.
Yes, if they go to What on Earth, they'll get a clothing line. We don't want them to go there. We have to go to whatonearththemovie.com.
Whatonearththemovie.com. And believe me, you will absolutely love what's there. But more than that, the movie itself is fascinating. So this has just been a delight having you as a guest, and I hope that when you come out with your next production, you'll be so sure to send me a copy, because I'd love to have it.
Well, you're a wonderful interview. You asked just the right questions, and you're really receptive, and I really enjoyed this a lot.
Thank you, Suzanne. Suzanne Taylor, go to their website, whatonearththemovie.com. It is incredible documentary information. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTaP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Hey, those telephone lines are open. And if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. It's real simple, nothing complicated, no games, no gimmicks here. It's just pure mental discipline that I utilize to empower you and your life. This is a toll-free telephone number to call in to. It is 888-815-9756, and that's anywhere from any point in the world. 888-815-9756. Remember, when you call in, I always want to know your first name or your initial, and of course, where are you calling in from? That I always like to know about. And then after that, sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive. And then if you have a question, you're welcome to ask about that. Also, if you wanted to ask me about dream interpretation or symbolisms, or maybe discuss a paranormal experience that you've had, I would love to hear your story. And again, 888-815-9756. Now for those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, September the 26th, a Saturday, I am going to be appearing at the Boeing Employees Parapsychology Club. Now this is a semi-annual event for one day from 9 in the morning until 5 in the evening. It's being held at Kent Commons at 525 4th Avenue North in Kent, Washington. Their zip code is 98042 if you want to look it up on MapQuest. This is such a wonderful event. People with all kinds of talents, and there's going to be speakers. I will be one of the speakers on Saturday. You'll be able to find out when you come in and pick up a program. But this is a marvelous event. There are all kinds of services available, and there are wonderful products that people bring in. And it is such a comfortable, easy, warm, welcoming environment. If you want to talk to some people regarding maybe some of your own experiences, you're going to find a lot of openness. And it is just a delightful, delightful event. And I'm so pleased to be involved with them again this fall. Now, if you want to go to their website, go to bepcweb.org. That's boyedwardpaulcharlesweb.org, and you'll find all of the information that you need. And I will be there. I will have a booth. I will be doing many consultations, as well as bringing in from my own personal library a number of books that if you want to have one, you'll be able to take one home with you. So just check it out. It is a wonderful, wonderful event, September the 26th. Well, I want to let you know who's coming up tomorrow. Dr. Neil Bernard is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about a publication called The Cancer Survivor Guide. Now, what this is going to be all about is if someone has had a form of cancer, they've learned that there are things that you can do so that it doesn't come back, if you will. And it's actually a book that has so much good information, just good, healthy information that anyone would benefit from this. I think so often we'll concentrate on a particular disease just because that seems to be the hot spot of the moment. When I was a little girl, I can remember my grandmother, the big thing were gallstones. Well, now they know that diet has a lot to do with that. It's sometimes hereditary, but it's diet. And this is what we're becoming aware of. Our bodies are these phenomenal chemical factories. And what we need to realize is that we have a responsibility to ourselves to take care of ourselves. Oh, you're going to have some wonderful upcoming guests. And tomorrow, again, Dr. Neil Barnard is going to be with us, and he's going to be sharing some of that information. And then, if you like mysteries, and you know when I do this show that I don't often do novels. Novels are okay, they're fine, they're fun reading. But I often find that they don't have in them a substance, unless they're a historical novel, that is worth even talking about. It just doesn't take too much time to sum up something. Well, Tom Sawyer, who was the original head writer for the wonderful and very, very successful and long-running series Murder, She Wrote, he has come out with a book of his own, and it's a mystery, and it is a thriller, and believe me, it is. It is called No Place to Run. Now, Tom has been a guest on my show before, and this man is so talented with his writing, but this is going to be based on 9/11. And if you are a conspiracy theorist, you will love this book. It is really good. So we'll have that Friday. We're going to be doing The Best of Donna because I have a commitment on that day, so I won't be able to do the program live, but you're going to have a wonderful show that you're going to be able to listen to regardless. So that's who's coming up. And again, if you want to call in and chat with me today, phone lines are open. Pick up that telephone and give me a call, 888-815-9756. I wanted to share with you a neat little poem by Sally Cogan. I don't know if in your part of the country school has opened up. Here it has in the Pacific Northwest. And this is addressing that time of the year. New shoes, new lunchbox, new teacher. September brings new possibilities, too. The chance to shine, to learn, to grow, whether you're 6 or 60. And I like that because I think that that is so true. Too often, people seem to think, and I don't know why in the world this was adopted. It's been going on for a long time. Fortunately, we're seeing some changes. But there is this attitude that once a person gets in the middle age, their 60s, gee, honey, you ought to slow down a little bit there. Don't you think you're going a little fast? No, I'm sorry. Just because you get older doesn't mean you're supposed to become some kind of fossil, for heaven's sakes. You need to be aware that if your mind is active and you take good care of yourself, you can still be going strong in your 90s. There may be an opportunity for me to interview someone that's older than Jack Lane, who's very active and very involved in the show business industry, and that's something I'm hoping I'm going to be able to do. So I'm going to be in touch with that person. But can you imagine at 99 being still active? Does that in any way compute with what your image of a person in their 90s would be? Well, we have to change our minds. By changing our minds, we're going to change our lives, and that is so very, very important. It is so incredibly important for us to do this. Because if we get stuck in our thinking about certain concepts, we're never going to get out of our mental dark ages, and we're going to end up being like old fossils. And just remember, every day that you live gets you closer to that older positioning. And if you're healthy and strong, often people don't even know that your age is XYZ. They don't compute it unless you haven't taken care of yourself. So remember, it's up to you. If you want to be healthy, if you want to be active, gracious, work at it. That's right. You don't have to become a decrepit anything. Do you know I am seeing some young people? I was in Las Vegas just recently, and I was amazed when I saw so many young people walking down a street, and they were walking with less enthusiasm than older people. And I thought, these kids are, and they're kids, I mean, they're 20s, early 20s, they've got slouched shoulders, they're shuffling along, their posture is terrible, their head's sticking out, they look like something that could be made into a cartoon. And you wonder, who has taught them? Who are they using as an example of how they're supposed to be? I'll tell you something. I don't care what your age is. Good posture makes a difference. Put your shoulders back. Lift your head so that it's upright, not dragging down on your chest. But look straight forward. Pretend you've got a book on your head and you're balancing it. That's an old technique that was used for generations to teach girls how to walk gracefully. Well, it's amazing. And you don't realize that when you have bad posture, not only does it make you look sort of sloppy, but when you're walking and when you're exercising or you're doing anything, when you have good posture, when you have good positioning of the body, it helps the internal organs as well. Well, that's my 5 minutes of lecturing on how to look better and how to feel better. But it's amazing. When you watch people, you can tell a lot about them just by the way that they're moving, how they hold their body. Do they have back problems, shoulder problems, neck problems? What's going on here? How do they feel about themselves? Try it sometimes. People watching is fascinating. Hey, do you like pancakes? I like pancakes. I don't eat them too often because I don't want to end up looking like one. But I'll tell you, they can really be good. And I just think they are one of the best ways to dress up a dinner if you want. I mean, crepes are a form of pancake. There's so many different ways that you can fix pancakes. They don't have to be thick and goopy. But I found a recipe for pancakes, and this is so easy. It's homemade, and you can zip it up in your blender and nothing flat at all. All you need is a cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 2 teaspoons of baking powder, 3 tablespoons of sugar, 3 tablespoons of sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, a tablespoon of oil, 1 egg, 2/3 of a cup of milk, and then a little bit of club soda. And the club soda, because it fizzles, aerates the batter. It's just really great. And all you need to do is just zap that in a blender, and you're ready to go. And 1/4 cup makes a nice pancake. And you're going to find that they're just as light as air, absolutely delicious. And if you want them real thin, then just sort of swish them around a large skillet on the inside, and they'll be as thin as you want them to be, and just add a little bit more liquid if you want sort of like a crepe. You can make pancake sandwiches. There's something called Ebbelskivers, and you can get forms. Actually, it's a pan. It's like a skillet, but it's deep, and it has these centers in it, and you pour your batter in that, and they just puff up, sort of like a puff pastry. And then if you can do all kinds of things with pancakes. You can do all kinds of different toppings. Why not try a little bit of lemon curd? Or you can make your own syrups, and they can all be natural syrups, too. There's just so many things you can do. But I wanted to share that with you quickly because that was an easy recipe to share. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. If you want to call in and chat with me, the telephone number to call into is 888-815-9756. We're going to be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedros. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Telephone number, 888-815-9756. I am really fascinated with the information that comes out about electronic equipment, and that you have to be aware of the fact that it can affect you physically. I was talking with someone not too long ago who was just having an awful time. They had to work on a computer at the job, and some of the work was done at home on their computer. And they were just absolutely exhausted. They couldn't figure out what in the world was wrong with them. So we had a discussion, and I said, you need to be aware of the fact that you are dealing with energy frequencies when you're around all of this equipment. And, of course, in their office, they have the printers. They have more than one computer screen that's on and that's running. And there's all of this energy that is there. And so, consequently, I encourage them to be aware that when they are in this room, to be sure that they're taking magnesium as a supplement. And I learned about this through one of my regular guests, Teresa Tapp. If you've listened to the show before, you'll hear Teresa giving out fabulous, fabulous research information regarding nutrition. And one of the things that they tell you to add, be sure that you're getting enough of, is magnesium. Also, if you want to be able to harmonize some of those electronic frequencies, if you have cacti, in a nice dish or a planter in the room, maybe it depends on the size of the room, have more than one. The cacti love this environment. They love the heat that's given off by all of the equipment, and it neutralizes some kind of a frequency that's given off by computer screens when you have it seated adjacent to wherever you are working. So those are just some tips, but I came across some other information that is really amazing, and that's regarding laptops. I had no idea that people were getting rashes because of laptops. Now, there is an occupational therapist, Karen Jacobs. She is a professor at Boston University Sargent College of Health and Rehabilitation Sciences. She said, laptop computers are wonderful, but she said, we're seeing now laptop-related injuries. Who knew? I'd never given that any consideration. That wasn't even something I would have even thought would have been a problem. However, this is what they recommend. With a laptop, whenever possible, you should use a separate keyboard, mouse, mouse pad, and laptop stand. Otherwise, there's not enough distance between your monitor and keyboard, so you have to hunch your shoulders, bend your neck, and lean in to see what you're typing. And don't use a wrist rest. That was a new one for me. They increase the odds of carpal tunnel syndrome, which is a wrist condition that sometimes people have to have surgery with. Of course, it's from stress and strain. I mean, that is exactly what carpal tunnel is a result of. And you need to prevent rashes by not using your lap with your laptop. When you have a laptop on your thighs for long periods of time, there's infrared radiation that you are going to be affected by. There are people that are very thoughtfully concerned that over time, these rashes can damage blood vessels and set the stage perhaps even for skin cancer. And, hey guys, this is important. They have gotten enough evidence to date suggesting that heat from laptops can reduce a man's sperm count. So, guys, if you're wanting to be a daddy, don't do it. Also, you want to avoid back pain with frequent stretches. You want to be sure to take 1 to 2 minute stretching breaks every 30 minutes or so. And this comes from Don Dressler. He's an expert in computer-related injuries. He said, sitting in the same position for too long can strain muscles and cause unnecessary pressure on joints. And the easiest way is to stretch your shoulders and back and sit on your chair with both feet on the ground and slowly reach one hand then the other up towards the ceiling, stretching as high as you can, then release. Also, if you're carrying your laptop in a backpack, heavy shoulder bags are a leading cause of neck and back injury. That is the truth. My husband went on a business trip carrying the laptop and other materials in a briefcase that he had on a real thick shoulder strap. He came home, his neck was in such pain, the side of his jaw, and it was all from carrying that stuff. Now, the average laptop weighs several pounds, as much as 12 pounds or more. You can risk hurting your muscles and joints if you tote your stuff that way. A backpack is safer because it evenly distributes the computer's weight. Better yet, and this is what I've done, you use a wheel-along suitcase. It's the least taxing of all, and I am in favor of that one. That's what I've done many times because it's too heavy. So when you have a wheeled unit, it's terrific, and you can go to any of your wholesale places and find them that where your laptop will fit in quite nicely. But I wanted to share that with you because I think that that is outstanding information to be aware of. Again, we need to realize that we're dealing with an expression of energy here. So don't put yourself in a situation where you're going to end up having some problems that you shouldn't have just because you weren't aware. Hey, I want to share this point with you, too. If you like shows, my husband and I just love live shows. Oh, by the way, you've got to go see Menopause. If you haven't seen the show Menopause, and I know it's been out there for a while, but I hadn't had a chance to see it. It is terrific. It is absolutely marvelous. And the women that perform in this musical are absolutely incredible. I recommend it highly. Well, when you're shopping around and you're in different locales, and you want to find out if there's any tickets available. You know, when you see tickets advertised for a certain price, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to buy it at that price. The face value can fluctuate dramatically depending on supply and demand. And the closer you are to the show date when you purchase tickets, the cheaper they'll be, and sometimes they're up to half off. So check things out. And also remember, if you go to season's ticket holders, many times they get the tickets so far in advance they can't attend certain events. To use that to your benefit, simply call the box office and ask about resales. And these are tickets returned by no-show subscribers. You can get them without the pricey fees tacked on by the ticket brokers. Ha-ha! couple of tips there. This is Donna Siebel. We're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous day wherever you are, and count your blessings. You've got a bunch of them. And the more you recognize them, hey, the more space you're going to have for even more of those golden blessings of opportunities in all sizes, shapes, and colors. This is Donna. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same place, talking health. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.